Turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1. 2 Timothy, chapter 1. I want to begin reading. I'm going to read just two verses, verses 13 and 14, at least to start out, and then kind of go a few places. Well, everybody got their cell phone off, right? 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. Now, this is Paul's second letter to Timothy. He actually starts off, after his greeting, when he called to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Unfeigned faith. Just a short aside here before I start. Unfeigned faith, Paul speaks of it because he had seen feigned faith already. Because what we see around us right now is not new. There's a lot of feigned faith. There's a lot of false faith. And it's not new. Paul's warning, telling Timothy. I got to thinking, Judas followed Christ. That's feigned faith. And to be honest, I don't know if Judas knew it was feigned. At first, anyway. Paul warned the Ephesians in Acts 20, verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember, but that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. These wolves that enter in and those that arise from within don't spare the flock, and they speak perverse things. What they do not speak is sound words. Therefore, watch and remember. Be wary. But there is an unfeigned faith and there is false faith. The unfeigned faith is singular. The false faith is many. There are multitudes that use the name of Jesus Christ who do not understand or believe that He, Christ, is the power of God and the wisdom of God. There are multitudes that use the name of Jesus Christ who do not know Christ. This has a result. This has the result of there being multitudes that do not preach or teach the truth of God as it is in Jesus Christ. And it's because of this that Paul issues this admonition to Timothy, this instruction, hold fast the form of sound words. Now, this word translated here, form, is translated from a Greek word that I am not going to try to pronounce. Because it's about this long. It's like four or five syllables. And it starts with the word hoop. and I forget the rest of it. But its meaning is clear. It is not telling us to speak formally. And it is not telling us that there is a formula which we have to learn and repeat. Which some people, I used to be in a place where you just repeated the same thing every Sunday. And I mean exactly the same thing every Sunday. There was a formula. There is no formula or format to preaching the gospel. The gospel is not repeat after me. As a matter of fact, we're told exactly the opposite. When we pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, because they think they're going to be heard for their much speaking. And I can tell you one thing. By personal experience, we are surrounded by much speaking. There are prayer chains everywhere. There are prayer lists everywhere. Short lesson, the power of prayer is not in the number of people praying. The power of prayer is in what is the will of God, not what we want. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That's it. That's the power of prayer. His will be done. And if you have the faith as of a grain of mustard seed, Mason, you could say unto that mountain, be thou removed, it would be removed. Because it's his will that it be removed, not that you want it. The faith is in him. Anyway, what Paul was telling Timothy to do is to use what he, Paul, had spoken in Timothy's presence as a pattern, as an example. That's what the word form here is translated from. As an example or a pattern of sound words. A guide. Paul was, in essence, telling Timothy to preach the same gospel he had preached. He'd preached to Timothy, and he'd preached around Timothy, because Timothy followed him around for a little while. Paul told Timothy to preach the same Christ that he had been preached. There's a reason for that. The reason is there's only one gospel. There's only one Redeemer. There's one salvation. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's only one Jesus Christ. There's only one message that is to be preached, even when preached in many different preachers in many different ways. The message is to be Christ. Hold fast the form of sound words. Paul warned the Galatians about this. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. Whatever it is, it's not another gospel, because there is no other gospel. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Those that arise from among yourselves and would speak perverse things. They would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. This is serious. Let him be anathema. Accursed. Cursed by God. I mean, I can curse you, but it won't do no good. Because I have cursed people in times past, and it didn't do any good at all. But if God curses you, you're in trouble. And if you preach another gospel, you're in trouble. In serious trouble. Because evidently someone in Galatia was not holding fast to the form of sound words. Paul said, let him be accursed. Like I said, it's not a good thing. If you have a feigned faith or a false faith, you're going to preach another gospel. Which is not another. The form of sound words is sound doctrine. And there's a way sometimes to tell if you know the form of sound words. Sometimes if you speak sound words, you can kind of tell by the nature and the vehemence of opposition you run into, depending upon where you are. Thankfully, we don't have that problem here, but I have been in other places. Because if your words are sound, your doctrine will be sound. Christ had this. In several places, but I just wrote down a few. And this is Matthew 7:28. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Mark 1:22. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there's a reason for that. It's because he has authority. He goes on, Mark 1:27, and they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Mark 11:18 goes this way. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. The scribes and chief priests were afraid of sound words. They were afraid of Christ because of his sound doctrine. Then they wanted to kill him because they were afraid. They hated Christ because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. That is the power of sound doctrine. That is the power of sound words. John was quoting the sound words of Christ. These men wanted to destroy God manifest in the flesh because of what he said. Because of what he taught. Welcome to the real world. The people were astonished. The religious were afraid and hateful. Again, welcome to the real world. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. And it does. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they'll keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. Because, Christ said this, because they know not him that sent me. They don't know God. It's a simple statement because it's simply true. They don't know God. Those that hate the sound words of Christ, the sound doctrine of Christ, do it because they do not know who sent Christ into this world and his sound words. That's the reason for their hatred. God sent Christ into this world. Christ said they don't know him. Christ said they hated me first, but they're going to hate you. Because they don't know God. Hold fast the form of sound words. Now, I have felt this hatred personally in my life. And I know some others here have too. And I thank God for them. Because once I was in an Arminian church, and it was because I didn't know any better, but some good came of it. All things work together for good. And it was good for me to be there. It's also good for me not to be there now, even better as far as I'm concerned. But it was good for me to be there at that time, because I met a few people that are here. And actually, this was the last day that I was in that Arminian church. We were sitting in the audience, I was, and I had shook my head at something that the preacher had said. And the reason I shook my head was because he was wrong. And I disagreed, and I didn't know what I was doing. I just shook my head. Because he was going on about how Christ chooses people now. He was in John. It's in the present tense, not in the past. So I shook my head. And I got called on it. Some of you were there. Some words were exchanged between the preacher and myself, mostly civilly. And I thank God Walter was there, and he stood up. And more words were exchanged, and then became also started in with the audience participation of our show. And that wasn't quite as civil. Now, I do believe, like I said, I thank God Walter was there and stood up with me in the defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The truth of Jesus Christ. That's all we were talking about. We weren't talking about personalities or anything. That was the only part that we were concerned about. Now, I didn't hear some of the choicer comments. Walter did. But I was not, at that time, I was not the least bit angry. Which still surprises me to this day. Because I can get angry easy. I can get fired up. But I was not angry at this present time. And I thank God for that too. I was not mad at all at these people who would not hear what I had to say. I was disappointed. I was saddened. Because I'd had a little bit of success talking to Walter. To where we had actually got to where we could talk. Instead of just him saying something and me disagreeing with it, or me saying something and him disagreeing with it, and then we go our separate ways. We'd actually got to the point where we could talk about Christ and be talking about the same person. And man, that was great. That was wonderful. And I wanted more of that, Walter. But it wasn't to be there. I wanted more people to understand the Christ of the Bible. I wanted a clearer picture of him preached at that place. That's all I wanted. I didn't want to be in charge. I didn't want to be up here. I didn't want to be up there. I just wanted a little more. And after this fiasco, which was the blessing of God, but I wasn't a bit angry. I just left. And that was the last day I'd been in that place. Now, I didn't quite understand at the time. But these people, overall, now I'm not saying every one of them, but overall, these people didn't know him who sent Christ.
Right.
And they would not have this man, this Christ of the Bible, this Christ who chose people from before the foundation of the world, they wouldn't have this man to reign over them. They would not have it. And they hated it. And I found that out when Walter told me some of the things were said that I didn't hear. And as I was leaving, I went to shake a fellow's hand. He turned around with his fist balled up. Now, we did shake hands, and I told him the truth. I said, I did not want this to happen. This is not what I intended. And it wasn't, by any stretch of the imagination. Now, I'm not against a good argument. I'm not against a good fight. But that's not what I was there for. That's not what I wanted. All I wanted was Christ to be preached. Anyhow. All I knew was it was time for me to leave, so I did. Turned out it was time for Walter to leave. But we didn't talk. We did all this separate. Now we got back together after a week or so. So back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Because the context of Paul's words to Timothy here is special. To me. He tells Timothy to hold fast to the form of sound words right after he wrote this to Timothy. Verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I like that. Because sometimes to let go with sound words, you need a sound mind. And I don't trust mine someday, so I'm glad I got one from somewhere else. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Don't let anybody kid you. There are afflictions of the gospel. Understand them. Learn from them, these afflictions, and don't be ashamed. Don't be ignorant either. God has given us a sound mind to believe and to relate His sound words. Verse 9, who has saved us and called us. And it says it in that order, no matter what you want to do with it. With an holy calling. Not according to our works, thank God for that, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And see, that's why I had that agreement with that Arminian preacher. That disagreement, excuse me. I'd agreed with him if he'd read that. If he read that verse out loud, and he did at times, I'd said amen and did. I swear God, Walter, sometimes I think that's the only reason I lasted as long as I did there. Is because he quoted a lot of scripture. And that was a good thing for me. I didn't always agree with what he said about the scripture, but the scripture was always good. God saved His people. God called His people not according to their works. God saved and called according to His own purpose. Just like He does everything else. He's in the heavens. He does whatsoever He is pleased. And it pleased God for me almost to get kicked out of a place. And for somebody in the back to yell, hang him from a tree, which thank God I didn't hear, but Walter did. Because that might have made me a bit nervous. I think it did him, but... God's purpose. His purpose and grace were given to His people in Christ Jesus. And that would have been a good place enough there to stop. But Paul didn't stop there. The reason Paul didn't stop there was because there's more to the form of sound words. God's purpose and grace was given to God's people in Christ Jesus before the world began. And if you got a problem with that, you got a problem with God. And that's it. And I know people who have a problem with that. And I know people who have a problem with God. Because that's what it is. And you start telling this stuff to people, it leaks out on some of them. Some of them will just say, you people are weird. Walter leads a cult, you know. No. It's what Paul said about 2,000 years ago. God's purpose and grace was given to God's people in Christ Jesus before the world began. That is the form of sound words. Those are sound words. Because that is sound doctrine. And I wasn't hearing that in an Arminian assembly. And I left. And some of you did too. But now is made manifest, verse 10, by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. All of this was made known by Jesus Christ. He abolished death. He brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Life and immortality did not and does not come by the gospel. No matter what anyone says. Life and immortality are brought to light. made manifest, made known, shown through, not by, through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. This is whom Paul preached to Timothy and around Timothy. This is the Christ that Paul preached that Timothy was to preach. Hold fast the form of sound words, because these are the sound words. Verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. Whom? And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That's a good song we sing every now and then. My belief and my faith are to be in Jesus Christ. My faith and your faith is not to be in the form of sound words. The faith of God's elect is in Him, in Christ, in Him whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He's able, because He is able. He will keep, because believers are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. These are just some of the examples of sound words that we are to hold fast in the face of adversity, in the face of... When we got into this discussion at this Arminian church, I didn't have the answer right then that I wanted. It was there. I knew it was there, but I couldn't find it. Because it was two verses before the one he had used to say that God chooses his people now. If I'd have backed up two verses, which was on the last page, it said that God had chosen us. Past tense. Two verses before that one came up. But all that would have done, maybe at that time, would have engendered a more of an argument. And that's why I couldn't find it. I found it the next day and called that preacher and told him. God moves in mysterious ways. Sometimes the sound words you're looking for may not be there in the middle of a fight. But you still hold fast to the form of sound words about Him. Because even if I get argued into a corner, which, okay, is rare, but it has happened sometimes, I still believe Christ. I still believe Him. I still trust Him. And I still know that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day, because He's the one that made me able to commit that to Him. We are to hold fast to them in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. I'll quote you two last verses here. Jesus answered them and said, this is John 7, verses 16 and 17. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me. That fellow they don't know. God, the Father. If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. You'll know. If any man will do His will, any man will do God's will, you'll know God's doctrine, which is Christ's doctrine, which is sound doctrine, which is sound words. If you don't know sound words, you may not know Him.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Your words, which You have given to us, because this is all we have. It's in word form, written down. Your word. And we thank You for Your Spirit, which leads us and guides us into all truth. Your sound words, Your sound doctrine. We're thankful most of all for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us without consideration of our works, without any of our works, saved us and called us with a holy calling. Thank You, Lord. We ask this in His name. Amen.